Thank you, Mary Joy. Hi, I'm Charmaine, compulsive eater. Glad to be here, excited to be here. Heart's beating fast, so I guess that's a good sign I'm alive. I wanted to start. I just wrote a little prayer for myself. I'm just going to read it and then get started. So, dear God, please allow me to serenely share the words about my lifelong journey and struggle with food, weight, body image, and how I have found serenity and joy beyond my wildest dreams through all things OA. So I'll introduce myself, compulsive eater from Canada. I've been abstinent from my disease. Imperfectly abstinent, I'll say, since November of 2024 when I found OA. I've struggled with being a volume addict, eating grotesque amounts of food at one day, a carb and sugar addict, binger, emotional eater my whole life since I could remember, a chew and spitter, so chewing food but then spitting it out so I wouldn't gain weight from it, restricting. Anorexia, obsessive calorie counting, orthorexia, which is like an obsession with healthy food, beyond, not in a healthy way though, too far, I guess you could say. Exercise bulimic, so everything I would eat, I would make sure I would exercise at least that amount of calories. Been addicted to the weigh scale most of my life. And obsessed, a body obsessor, always looking in the mirror, always body checking. So that's a little bit about me. I would say I'm in recovery from all of that. I'm still an emotional eater, but I don't binge like I did before November. So I'll just thought I would share a little bit about before OA. I remember from a pretty young age, maybe 8 or 9, really feeling different. Especially different than my siblings. They're both pretty like beanpole body type, tall and thin. And then I always had like a huskier kind of a body type. I remember one of my uncles said, "Oh, Charmaine, you got the iron side hips," which meant like the bigger body type. Didn't sit well with me as a little kid. And yeah, my mom was always struggling with her weight, always on a different, I guess pay and weigh is the main thing she did. Never happy with her weight. And I was used to watch her. I remember she would go and put these big ankle weights on her ankles and then trudge up and down this hill by her house. I remember thinking that doesn't look fun. I thought like exercise is fun as a kid, you know? But for her, it wasn't fun. It was more like a punishment. And I didn't think I would follow in her footsteps, but I did. And then, yeah, just as a teenager, always struggled with my weight. I wasn't actually overweight. I just thought I was overweight. And then in my, I would say late 20s, early 30s, I started, my emotional eating kind of got to like a fever pitch. I found out I was having a miscarriage, when I was 27, and I remember just like, order the takeout, get the wine, like, let's go. Like, we're eating. This is how we deal with things. When my mom passed, she had leukemia every night, just binging. I was so angry, angry at her, angry at the doctors, angry at the world. So alcohol and food was how I coped with that. I gained about 30 pounds in 9 months while she was sick. That was the length of her diagnosis to when she passed. And at this time, I was a personal trainer, a fitness trainer. So it felt pretty awful to be preaching fitness and health and healthy food to people, but going home at night eating fast food and binging till I have just fall asleep. I won't think, I didn't, I wouldn't even say if I was falling asleep. I was just kind of like passing out from my food coma. I did take some steps to deal with my emotional eating after my mom died. kind of a pivotal moment was a few days before she passed. We were at the hospice, because I was like her only caregiver sort of thing. I couldn't do it at home, so brought her to a hospice, which I still kind of feel bad about because she didn't want to be there. She wanted to die at home. But I remember a chaplain came in and said, like, how are you doing? This is not easy, you know? And I remember a little burst of anger, like, how dare you? Like, I don't want to talk to you, stranger. And as soon as they left, I had a big cheesecake there, because my brother had brought it in earlier because it was my mom's birthday. It was her 63rd birthday. And I'm like, no one ate the cheesecake all day. But then as soon as the chaplain left, I just started eating it, ate the entire thing. And then I remember just like feeling so sick, like to my stomach, viscerally sick. And then like this realization, like this isn't the solution. Like that was a 10-minute distraction from this grief that I'm feeling. I had no zest for life. I was just eating all my feelings. And so I decided to stop, to try to stop. So I took some grief recovery classes. I actually went on an emotional eating retreat where for 6 days, it was like 2-hour meals where you had to like painstakingly eat your meal, and the facilitator would like tell us to put our fork down every minute to like sense our hunger, and I hated every second of it. It was silent as well. But I had this realization, one day I was eating, I had taken two meals because of course I couldn't just have one. I didn't want to have to choose. I took soup, I took all these other extras, dessert, and then we were doing this 2-hour god-awful eating meditation, and it was kind of the end, and I was so full. And I remember I had this thought, I wish my mom could have experienced this, because it was sort kind of slowly starting to like be a little bit impactful. And I'm like, as much as I hated it, and then I started to tear up, and as soon as I teared up, I grabbed my spoon and I just like dug it into my, I had this like yogurt parfait, which was, could have been an entire meal probably. And I had this like, oh my God, this is what you do. This is exact. You don't cry. You don't emote. You don't let yourself feel anything. You just eat. And that's why you're overweight. And that's why you're have no zest for life. So I put the spoon down, and I cried. And it was like, this was like 28 years of like pent up grief. And so I just cried. I sat there crying, and nobody helps. No one comes over to you. That's a part of the whole thing. You don't try to console each other. So I just cried and for a couple of minutes, felt like a weirdo. And then I went into the hallway and I saw this woman, and she looked like my mom. She was at the retreat. And I went like, I can't show you because I'm on my screen, but I like held out my arms like, can I have a hug? Like, you're not supposed to talk. So I kind of mouthed it. And she gave me a hug and I just like sobbed. And then I walked outside. It was in California. It was a beautiful day. And I looked up at the sky and I looked up down at the grass. And I'm like, I've never in my life felt like alive like this. Like, for the first time in my life, I didn't stuff my feelings down. I asked for what I needed, which also I never did growing up. Ask for a hug. Are you kidding me? So it was like I let myself feel the hardest emotion for me, which was grief and sadness. And then I got access to this new level of joy and like peace and serenity. And like, so yeah, that was pretty cool. But then I kind of maintained that somewhat for 10 plus years, ish. But I was always like really weird about food and obsessed about calories. And but I wasn't binge, I wasn't emotionally eating every day anymore. So that was kind of good. And then last March, a year ago at this time, I got really depressed. And it was fast, and it was just like bizarre. Like it was like my soul just left me. I felt like my brain stopped working. I went from being like a high functioning woman. I owned two businesses. Like I got two kids. I was like a get stuff done kind of person, and I could barely form a sentence. I could barely make my kids lunch. Every day, all I thought about was going like back to bed. Like, I'm just like, I just don't want to suffer like this day. So sometimes I'd even take a sleeping pill and just go to bed at like 3 in the afternoon because I just didn't want to deal with life. And it got progressively worse. I had really dark thoughts, and I'm like, okay, positivity, Charmaine, like optimist, like cancel those negative thoughts. Like it's all good. I tried that for March, April, May, didn't work, got worse. And at the same time, I didn't realize what was happening, but I was going into anorexia. I kind of, not that the weight's really relevant because we're all different, but I ended up getting down to 100 pounds in August. And my husband's like, you're not going to die from your depression. You're going to die, because I was suicidal. He's like, you're going to die from anorexia. Your heart's going to stop beating. And he went around the house. He took all the photos of our family down. He's like, you don't care about our family anymore. And I'm like, I didn't say this, but I'm like, I don't care about you. I don't care about the kids. I don't care about myself. And it was just a crazy time. So, August 3rd, I checked myself into the hospital. I did a lot of stuff, by the way. I did therapy 3 times a week. I was like going to eating disorder groups. I was like trying. I hadn't given up fully on life. But I went to the hospital, not for anorexia. I would never have admitted I had anorexia, by the way. I was in such denial. So yeah, that's how the crazy disease works. But I checked into the hospital, and there's like this switch flip for me. I was like, fuck, screw it. I'm gonna eat whatever I want, however much I want. And I would have never touched hospital food, because I'm like a holistic health coach. Like I would have, my son was in the hospital 2 years ago for 4 months. Every day I cooked. I brought a little heat pack. I went, or like a little, you weren't allowed to do this, but in the bathroom, I'd cook his meals. I'm like, he's not eating hospital food. Like it's not happening. But then I was like gobbling down multiple meals in the hospital at every sitting. I remember one day this guy left. He had a plate of lasagna. He didn't eat it. I ate his lasagna, and then he came back. He's like, where's my lasagna? I was mortified. And I just sat there quietly. I didn't admit that I ate the lasagna, but I would eat anything. I would eat garbage. I would eat. And so, anyways, that's enough about where I came from. But I went from 100 pounds up to the 170s in like 3.5 months. I just could not stop eating. And my family was happy because they're like, at least you're not going to die from anorexia. And they kept saying, like, it's okay. It'll even out. It'll even out. And I'm like, it won't. This is a beast. I'm eating all day, every day. I can't not have something in my hand, in my mouth. And I'm not exaggerating. I was gaining 5 pounds a week. And they're like, oh, don't worry, the compulsion will go. And I just knew intuitively, I'm like, there's no way. How could it go? How could I stop this? This is the only thing keeping me going. I can't deal with my life. I hate myself. I hate my life. And so I remember on November 16th, it was my sister-in-law's birthday. My brother asked if I could babysit, which was kind of I felt like that was like a compliment, because after being in the psych unit for a month, I'm like, oh, he trusts me with his two kids. I was like feeling kind of good about myself. And I put the kids to bed at like 7:30, and I just ate my way through their pantry until they got home at 11. And at 11, they came in the door, and I was making toast, and I'm like, oh, I just wanted to try out your fresh sourdough. It was so embarrassing. I had literally just taken small bits of everything, cereal, it doesn't matter. Just so they maybe wouldn't notice. And that night when I got home, I looked, I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, these binge eating groups in my city aren't helping. This counselor doesn't get it. My psychiatrist thinks I just need to like have better portion control. Like nobody gets it. I'm alone. I'm a freak. There's no one on earth that could be as weird as me with food. And then I just started Googling, and I found OA, and I went on a meeting. It was like a bot meeting. Like, I don't know. It was like a typing meeting, which I didn't really resonate with, but I was like, oh, at least it kind of like there's something. And then the next day, I went on a Zoom meeting, and literally, I started binging meetings, but I didn't put down the food. I would be going through a drive-through lane, listening to a meeting, turn my camera off. I did that for a few days, but I was at such a rock bottom. I'm like, I don't, and I kind of subconsciously, or maybe consciously, I'm like, well, okay, I couldn't die from anorexia. I don't think that's really what I wanted with anorexia, but I really didn't want to be around on this earth. And then I'm like, maybe you can die from overeating, like, because I would never take my own life. That would be too hard on my
5 minute
kids.
warning.
Thank you, Angela. So I'm like, maybe overeating. But then I came on OA and I'm like, there's people that are 600 pounds. Like, you aren't going to die quick, girlfriend. Like, this is going to be a nasty end. And then someone said, overeating is like suicide on a payment plan. And then I saw a woman in a big at the zoo with her son, who was the same age as my son's 5 years old. And she was driving like a motorized vehicle to get around the zoo. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to be you, Charmaine. Like, if you don't stop this, that's going to be you. And that was a big wake up call. I didn't actually want to not be here. I just didn't want to suffer anymore with my mental health and my depression. So yeah, OA, I just started binging. Instead of binging on food, I woke up, I remember it was November 19th, and I'm like, I'm done. I won't, I can't. I'm not doing this another day. And people talk about being like struck with abstinence. Maybe I don't, I feel bad saying it because I know that's not everyone's story, but I'm like, I can't do, I'm not doing this anymore. And it was hilarious because that same day I lost the keys to my car. And I'm like, that would be a perfect opportunity to eat over. But I'm like, God, you are just like, if there is a God, by the way, I didn't know if there was anymore after going through 9 months of life-threatening depression. I thought God had just left me, but I was like, if there is a God, this is pretty darn funny. I lose my keys to my car. I'm already stressed dealing with life. So yeah, since then, I haven't lost a lot of the weight I put on, but I haven't gained, which is a miracle because I was literally gaining 5 pounds a week, between August and like October, November. And I just wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to share how a few things that have helped me before I wrap up. Meetings. I remember it was like sometimes on 8 meetings a day. My husband's like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? What are you on Zoom all day doing? I'm like, it's better than me being in the food. And he didn't still understand how bad the food was. He thought, oh, well, at least you're at a healthier weight. But I knew it was killing me mentally and emotionally. So meeting sponsor, I got a sponsor right away in the first week, and I still have him as a sponsor. He's great. I relied heavily on like sending him my photos of my food, having accountability like that at the beginning. I don't do that anymore. Not that that's wrong or right. It just, for me, I was like, I don't feel like I need to do this anymore. Maybe I'll go back to it. Telephone was huge, especially like bookending. Like, I remember when the woman was like, call me after the party, because I had a Christmas party, and I'm like, oh my God. And so I say imperfectly abstinent, because about 3 weeks into OA, I went to a Christmas party and I really overdid it. I remember thinking, well, they get to eat these midnight snacks, why can't I? And I kind of just rationalized my way into a poor eating night and woke up feeling so disappointed in myself. So then the next event, I had a person to bookend with. So before the event, I called them. After the event, I called them. And it really helped keep me a little more grounded, accountable. So that was big. Writing, I don't really like to write, but sometimes I go on writing meetings. Literature, I especially love the Daily Readers, Voices of Recovery, and For Today. For Today is my favorite. Service, I love the one promise that says, what does it say? Just something about losing interest in selfish things, gaining interest in our fellows,
1 minute warning.
thank you. And then that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. I felt like the most useless person on earth. I was like, I'm such a loser. All I do is eat all day. I'm putting my family's finances at risk because I'm literally eating like, and I was like a fancy eater. I'd like go to bakeries and fancy stuff. I couldn't just eat like anything. So I was like, just, I'm not productive. I'm not working. I'm not even making my kids a good lunch, and I'm just eating all day. So doing service on meetings really gave me like a sense of purpose. Even being the timekeeper, I was like, I'm helping the world in some way. That's like big for me as purpose and fulfillment. So yeah, service was huge. It still is for me. And yeah, I higher power. At first, I'm like, I think God's left me. I'll wrap up. But now I have a connection to God that I've never experienced in 40 years. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for OA, grateful for all of you. Thank you so much for letting me share.